out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and crap.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
This is springtime. A man's fancy turns to baseball. You know,
spring training, you know what? Spring training's fine. I love spring training, especially since the Yankees are running up the score all the damn time. But,
hope the injuries aren't as bad as, like, some people are already saying they are.
Like, what do you mean?
Some of the things say that we have, like, ESPN has a thing where it says, oh, the Yankees have an injury problem, but so do all these other teams. Like, yeah, we have an injury.
ESPN says
a lot of things. No, we don't. We don't have an injury problem.
ESPN says a lot of things.
Yeah, this is what happens
when there are no adults in the room.
Right, exactly. But this is the season. Oh, that's right. We're talking. That's right. It's been a month. What has it been? About 3 weeks?
It's been almost a full month since we last talked here on the BS Big Show on 5-1. That is Jason. My name's Chico. VRM's on the ones and twos. Flying solo this week because
Ian's away, and you know he doesn't want to be here talking about just BS. But will you include the Hall of Famer to be?
We have a sound guy that must be from New Jersey or something.
That's right. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame as of Monday. That's kind of cool.
That's awesome. It's like you would think that there would be nothing left to speak of in regards to the NFL, as a wise American philosopher once said, I am not a businessman. I am a business man.
And speaking of business, the Denver Broncos gave Russell Wilson the business, and they are getting screwed in the business.
Oh, the Seahawks are just straight up.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, they have been for the last two seasons, but still.
See, because Russell Wilson on Monday, this is the biggest news story, was released by the Denver Broncos, and the Denver Broncos are going to take a combined $85 million salary cap hit. 46 this year, what is it, 39 next year or something like that?
Correct. 46 this year, 35 next year. But okay. That's completely untradeable for the Broncos. But it does put destiny back in Russell Wilson's hands. And the question now is, because he was traded.
There's two questions to ask. How screwed are the Broncos? Very.
Very.
Okay. Very. They will not be relevant at least until 2027, till the cap hit goes away, okay? But the question is, where does Russ go? Or where do you think he should go? I mean, there are a few teams that need a good quarterback. Pittsburgh's one of them.
Las Vegas. Minnesota.
Chicago.
No, okay, no, uh-uh. Really? They got their own issues. Fields, oh, yeah. Justin Fields. Not Justin Fields, Fields. We don't know.
Exactly. That's the whole point. Chicago? Is Fields going to Atlanta? Or a lot of the scuttlebutt is saying he's going to Atlanta.
Well, because Chicago still has the number one pick, right?
Yeah. Chicago still has the number one pick, but rumblings have arisen about them perhaps trading to somebody else for the number one pick, and I'm like,
who?
I don't know. Nobody said. But it's like, after all that to do, after we gave you the house, you're gonna do that to us?
No. Well, according to NFL.com, okay, they have the top 101 free agents as of yesterday. Okay. As of today, actually, excuse me. Mm-hmm. This afternoon. So Do you want me to give you the top 10, top 20, top 25? What do you
think? Let's do top 20 here. I have a copy as well. Number one is Chris Jones of the Chiefs.
And well, then we'll
number two is Kirk Cousins.
Okay.
Christian Wilkins at three. Danielle Hunter at four. Tyrone Smith at five. This is something that came out today. Saquon Barkley, the Giants did not tag him today. So
Now, VRM, is that a good thing or not? I don't know. I'm not sure. Because if the Giants do not re-sign him, the Giants season is going to blow.
Yeah, if the Giants cannot get Saquon to re-sign, we are going to be in deep shit, like deeper shit than...
Yeah, because according to some sources, which I don't believe, that they're saying they're having buyer's remorse on Daniel Jones. Okay, how many sacks did the Giants offensive line let in last year?
Like 80-some-odd? 80? It was 85, 86, something like that. It was you're going to have a shitty quarterback play because the quarterback isn't being protected.
85.
Through this with Jerry fucking Rice.
Okay, 85, and that's what, 17 games, right?
Yeah.
That's an average of 5 sacks a game. Sieve!
Per game. Sieve per game.
Right.
I thought you had to play for the Panthers to get that sort of numbers.
That was second because this... Yeah. No, I'm not kidding. No, the Carolina had 65. Commanders had 65. Jets had 64. Okay. I want to see. Oh, by the way, do you know who let in the least sacks last year?
Yeah. Okay. So at tied for fourth, because there's tied for fourth are the Lions and the Dolphins with 31.
Mm-hmm.
Third place is the Packers with 30. Second is look who's at second.
Oh. Green, Kansas City, same function.
Yeah. And number one is Josh Allen. Then
1.4 sacks.
Bills only like 24 sacks for the Bills for the entire season.
That's pretty insane.
That is wild, man.
That is just what. So, did buyer's remorse on Daniel Jones? Because we have no effing offensive line. We don't. We have none. Getting back to the actual free agents, number seven is the edge guy, Jonathan Greenard. Number eight is Calvin Ridley.
All right.
Number nine is offensive guard Mike Onwenu. 10 is Leonard Williams. 11 is Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. 12 is Bryce Huff. 13 is Kendall Fuller. Here's another one, VRM.
Another person we didn't tag. Xavier McKinney at 14.
Hollywood Brown at 15. Stephen Gilmore at 16. Frankie Louvu at 17. Robert Hunt at 18. Patrick Queen at 19. That's an interesting one.
Wow. And rounding out, I almost want to go 25 because I'm looking
ahead. Yeah, we can go 25. Let's do 25.
Cushenberry, center. 21, Jacoby Brissett. Highest-ranking quarterback on the list there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is a shame because look who's 22. Ooh.
Baker's going to get his deal with
Sam. Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that in a second.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, Derrick Henry, Gabe Davis, and Chase Young. Running out the top 25. Derrick Henry's going to get his money. Gabe Davis is going to get some of his money. Mm-hmm. Chase Young, maybe?
Yeah, but let's go back to Baker, and more importantly, let's go back to the person who Baker's going to be targeting.
That would be Mike Evans.
Yeah, yes. Because
here comes the money.
Here we go, money talk.
Here comes the money. Money.
Mike Evans got paid, man. 2 years, $52 million.
Yowza.
Okay. 2 years, $52 million. That's a lot of money. We're talking a lot.
I'll tell you right now.
That means Baker's getting paid.
It's like if they're paying Mike Evans to come back.
Mike Evans would not sign unless.
Exactly. And Baker Mayfield would not sign unless. So you sign one, you can sign the other. We can finish having this conversation.
Right. And I mean, to me right now, because we are right now 8 days away from the new year, according to the NFL. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So for those who don't understand how this all works,
it's like a governmental budget year.
Exactly. It's a budget year. It's a fiscal year. So the league's fiscal year officially starts this year on March 13th at 4 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And yes, right. It is daylight because we turn our clocks this week.
Yeah.
Right. And now, and get this, okay? The teams are going to get a lot more money to spend, you say, because the NFL salary cap per team. You ready for this? Play that one more time, please.
Here comes the money.
Here we go.
Here comes the money.
Yes. Okay. The salary cap has been raised $31 million per team. A record $255 million per team.
Okay.
Ooh. Now, here is, you want to hear it? So here are the cap spaces according to let's go to overthecap.com. Okay.
Going there now.
Okay.
Because I learned how to spell.
I love that. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Overthecap.com. Okay. Let's take a look here.
Okay. So here we go. According to the 2024 salary cap space, okay, which is team salary cap plus active salary cap equals dead money. Are they allowed? Can we see it?
I can tell you right now, the cap space leading the cap space with $91 million are the Washington Commanders. Patriots are in second with $88.8 million. Titans have $75.8 million. Texans have $70 million. Cardinals and Bears hovering around the $56 million space.
Mm-hmm.
And
then look all the way down here.
Oh, okay. Here are the
Where are you seeing this? Over the cap?
Overthecap.com and near the bottom middle, there's a link that shows 2024 cap space. Take a look at some of these numbers. Look at the red numbers.
These are the teams that are.
I have to look because maybe because of the ad blocker.
I could take. I got it right here. All right, so I'll explain. There are right now 8 as of the time we are recording this, 10:30 on Tuesday, the 5th of March. There are 8 teams who, according to the salary cap space, are underwater. They are the 49ers at $285,000.
The Ravens is nothing.
At $9.5 million. The Cowboys at $10.6 million. The Broncos at $16.4 million. The Saints at $17.1 million.
Oh, I got it now. Okay, good. Okay. I had to open it in an incognito window. Okay.
Yep. See, that's what you needed to. The Dolphins at $18.8 million, the Chargers at $19.2 million, and the Bills $40.7 million. That's double the discrepancy of the Chargers. What the hell, dude?
Mm-hmm. And look at these teams that don't have much space either. The Chiefs, the Browns, the Steelers. Chiefs barely have don't even have $3.5 million. The Browns have
Okay. You know what Patrick will do. He'll restructure his
deal. Yeah, there's gonna be some restructuring in here. So the Browns
and also don't be surprised if Deshaun Watson restructures too.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And Chico, look at this.
I'm looking at it. Yo, I'm looking at it. They have it's like the Panthers they have you wanna talk about turning shit into Shinola? Yeah, with almost $12 million. Good luck with that, buddy. It's like they only tagged, and I know that they only tagged Brian Burns, which, you know, that's the sort of thing you can afford to do when you only have $11.9 million in cap space.
But now look at the teams with the biggest cap space, okay? Commanders, they're going to be doing some spending. We know this. Hmm. Patriots, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Patriots, once they figure out their whole GM issue.
Yep. And also the Texans. Good grief, man. Texans are in prime position right now.
Oh, yep, gosh. The Texans are going to go on a spree.
It's like Texans can afford to build a team around that core that they established
CJ Stroud
past season.
CJ Stroud, Tank Dell. Will Anderson.
Well, yeah. What's the other receiver? Nico Collins. That's the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nico Collins. First of all, over the cap. Wow. Great stuff. By the way, the last we could also there were since the Super Bowl. Okay. There have been 7 contracts signed. None of them really big, but the Eagles signed 2. DeMarcus Robinson was signed, Badgley, Jalen Reeves-Maven, and Preston Smith, okay? But if you go to, and they franchise Snead. Yeah, the biggest, I'm saying, I think the biggest franchise tag, there are 2 of them that I see here.
I'm looking at one right now.
That would be T. Higgins.
That's what I'm looking at.
And LeJarius Snead of the Chiefs.
All right, the T. Higgins franchise tag will cost the Bengals $21.8 million for next year. And for the Chiefs, you said, LeJarius Snead is worth $19.8 million.
Correct. Yeah.
Meanwhile, Matt Areza on the Chiefs is getting the league minimum, so he's a punter. He'll be fine.
Right, but I'm surprised there were very few tags this year.
So
it raises a question. Is it that people don't want to spend the franchise tag money when they could spend just because they've got all that new money they have to work with in the cap? Or is it the fact, I think contracts are getting too expensive for some of these teams.
Well, they are, but you notice that I'll give you the best example of the one right now, right? I'll throw a baseball example and then I'll go back to football. Okay.
All right.
Shohei Ohtani. Okay. Shohei Ohtani signed for $700 million, right?
Yeah.
But is he getting paid $700 million for the next 10 years? Nope.
No.
No.
So he's gonna get paid what the pro rata is for the first year, maybe the first 10, 2 years.
He's getting paid $2 million apiece. Okay.
Yeah.
And then all the money is being back deferred for when he's done $68 million a year. Okay. That's what he's doing.
Yeah.
And that's why when you have a guy that Patrick Mahomes, right? Let's go to spot track for that, right? Okay.
All right.
So Patrick Mahomes signed a 12-year, $480 million contract. However, okay, you know, because right now he's
Right now, his average salary is $45 million, with the $10 million signing bonus. And remember, it was 10 years, $450,000 mm-hmm. for that contract.
Yeah,
and so that will take us up to 2032.
Yeah,
but he's gonna. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so for this year, he's making just under 10 base, with another six signing. 35 mil roster bonus, and then there's the restructure involved here as well.
Because he restructured his contract to get paid $60 million, you know, towards the end. Okay, because he restructured last year and he'll restructure again because they even with the Chiefs winning, they need help. Okay. They definitely need.
Like we said during the broadcast, at the end of the broadcast, the Chiefs got lucky in the Super Bowl.
They did.
Mm-hmm.
Mecole Hardman was in the right place at the right time. We discussed this.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, that sort of thing you can't afford to have happen again. So Patrick Mahomes, because he is a team player and a real one, He's gonna have his deal restructured so they can have more dead cap space. Mm-hmm. And it's gonna happen. Maybe not this year, but maybe next year.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a thing to look out for.
Moving on from all the free agency and the restructuring stuff, we need to talk about the combine, or really the combine that really wasn't. Okay.
It's like most combines, there's like some sort of blowout performance that changes everybody's perception about whoever. But I'm looking at the mock drafts from before the combine and the mock drafts from the after combine, and you can cue the Pam Beasley picture saying they're the same picture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because Who is it that's slated to go? Was it Caleb Williams?
Caleb Williams. Well, let's look at a mock draft.
Okay? Yeah, I'm looking at a mock draft.
I've got Bleachers up.
I got CBS Sports.
I'll go ESPN. How's that?
Okay.
Okay. Let me just put. Okay, this is Jordan Reed, who from ESPN. Okay, round one, he has number one, Caleb Williams. What do you have?
Bleacher also has Caleb Williams number one.
All right. I have Ryan Wilson from CBS who has Caleb Williams number one.
Okay. Number two, ESPN has Target in the house, Drake May.
Drake May.
I have Jaden Daniels.
Okay. Jaden Daniels. Oh, wow. Okay. According to ESPN, Daniels goes three at LSU.
Same for Bleacher.
I have, God, how old is this? No, this was just released yesterday. Oh, God. I have as number three, J.J. McCarthy out of Michigan.
What? No, okay.
It's like, you're entitled to your wrong opinion. That's okay.
Wrong.
Who this guy be?
No. J.J. McCarthy's the
talking about J.J. McCarthy. God.
Okay. Number four, they have Marvin Harrison Jr.
Same.
Wow. Jalen Hurts and I'm sorry. Yeah. Kyler Murray and Marvin Harrison Jr. Interesting. Okay. According to this guy, that the Chargers would the Bears would trade to the Chargers for fifth to get Malik Nabers at LSU.
All right, I have the Vikings trading to the Chargers, and they pick up Drake May.
Okay, I don't think I have trades in here because I have Chargers getting Joe Alt from Notre Dame.
Okay. The Giants pick, according to this guy, Rome Odunze from Washington.
All right, I have
wide receiver, by the way, because the Giants do need help there.
Yeah,
yeah. They also need help at the offensive tackle, and that's where
Olubuliwa
Fashanu comes in.
Are we gonna do it again, Jason? Are we doing it again this year, where it was like we're gonna pick a wide receiver and we're just gonna scream, "We need an offensive line!"
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, Ruma Dunzi for Bleacher.
According to number seven here, the Titans will take Joe Alt, and that's a good pick for them if they do it.
Same.
Yeah, I have the Titans getting Malik Nabers out of LSU.
Okay, so they okay, Joe Alt is 6'9", 321. Good grief, yo. Okay, the Falcons will take Dallas Turner from Alabama as an edge runner.
Mm-hmm. All right, I have another edge runner, Jared Verse from Florida State.
Yeah, I have Bleacher has the Falcons going to Michigan and getting J.J. McCarthy.
Well, they do need a quarterback, and it ain't okay. Now, according to this mock trade, the Chargers would take Brock Bowers for the tight end out of Georgia. Okay.
Yeah, I have Chicago in at number 9, picking Malik Nabers.
Mm-hmm. I have Chicago at 9 with Olubuliwa Fashanu.
Okay.
All right, and
at the 10, I don't know how far we want to go. We'll just go to 10. I have Olubuliwa Fashanu going to the Jets. Mm-hmm. Woof. That would be good.
Yeah, Bleacher, same position. Talis Fuaga.
Okay.
Talis
Fuaga out of Oregon State.
I have out of Washington, a wideout, Rome Odunze. Going to the Jets.
Mm-hmm. So, with that. But again, the combine did nothing for me. You notice that certain things are getting less and less and less with importance, like the combine. Okay, no one wants to take the Wunderlich test anymore. They don't want to hurt themselves. You know, the big people don't want to hurt themselves anymore. They really don't.
No, I mean, it's like this is getting to be basically like this used to be like a showcase. Now it's more like a glorified job interview.
So yeah, it's a glorified job interview. Now, a little Pixel Nation crossover. Now, I think EA is screwing the college football players. Really, I really do. Okay.
And because this is news. How?
It's not. Okay. Because the video game industry is in deep shit anyway. But.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure we've seen that news that I pulled up lately that no one else is covering, but that's another story.
Which by the way, which is? Oh, you mean the
Sweet Baby thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. But what I'm saying is that EA Sports has announced that they are going to do college NCAA 25 this summer, right?
Right.
Correct. Now, there is something called name, image, and license, where you can get paid for your likeness in the game. They have offered $600 per player to be in the video game. And you said 10,000
plus athletes have said, give me the money. So on all
that's
of them,
million.
and all of the 134 FBS programs will be represented in the game. So and the sated 10,000 are going to get, in addition to the $600, a copy of the game.
Are they going to get a system to play it on?
They probably already have one. Thanks, boosters. Anyway.
No, but I'm just saying, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
But there was one major player that said, I don't want to do this.
Yep.
And that would be Arch Manning, which would be the younger
son of Copper Manning and the nephew of Peyton and Eli. And he was the only.
Why did he say that? Why?
I am trying to find the reasoning behind that. Okay, so according to Fox Sports, Texas coach Steve Sarkisian shared that Manning's grandfather, Archie Manning, his namesake, advised him not to accept an NIL deal until he became a starter. Manning was the secondary backup to Quinn Ewers. His only notable stint coming in Texas's regular season finale blowout over Texas Tech. Remember, he went 2 of 5 for 30 and rushed for 7 yards in that game. So with Malik Murphy transferring, Manning is in line to be the primary backup to Ewers, who held off the NFL draft interest to remain in Austin for another season. So there you are. He's basically saying...
I understand it, really.
I totally understand it. I mean,
I get it.
Nobody wants to be the backup in a video game. I mean, come on.
No.
I want to be a star.
Excuse me. Who's going to play Bryce Young in Madden 24, really?
I might. But then
you know
again,
what I mean.
And you know this, Jason Block, because we've been friends for 20 years. I am a glutton for punishment.
That's kind of cool. Now, VRM, we have been talking about, you know, we are finally getting used to 17-game seasons. They've only been around for how long? What, 5 years, I think?
Not even. I was like,
let's see.
I want to say it was three, maybe 4 years.
It's only been 3 years, I think.
Yeah, 2021. Now the rumor is they want to go to 18.
Pinky has something she wants to say about that.
No.
Well, okay. Well, then first of all, it wouldn't come until the next labor deal in 2030. Okay? And the league won't have the same determinant, according to Ask Sports Business Journal. Yesterday, the push for the 18-game regular season hasn't been abandoned, according to Mike Florio of NBC Sports. The first hint of that fact came when Browns GM Andrew Berry explained that Cleveland and other teams are proposing a delayed trade deadline of 14 days from the Tuesday after Week 18 to the 8 to the Tuesday after Week 10. And that 1 week was aimed at accounting for the extra week created by the 17th regular season game. And the second week was in anticipation of further expansion of the regular season to 18. Florio wrote, the NFL has good reasons to increase inventory as the other weekend of TV windows, which means another weekend of TV money and more stuff on which folks can bet. The question will be whether the league will eventually inevitably try to go to 20 games and no preseason. Well, yeah, okay. You know, we have talked about this for years, that the preseason is a load of, in the words of Gordon Pepper, moo-poo, okay? And the preseason has actually gone with less and less and less importance, combined with the fact that we have said on many occasions that the first 4 weeks of the NFL season is really the preseason to begin with, right?
Yeah.
So, all joking aside, VRM and Chico, 18 and 20? What do you think?
Oh, gosh. They're going to you know what? The NFL is eventually going to have their 20-game season. And you know what? The product is going to be the product, but I just have to think about the players, because if you have your starters for 20 weeks at a time, because when you watch the preseason game, that's basically, I believe, and Jay, you would know this, and so would I, the equivalent of live fire exercises for the B squad.
Right.
But you have 18 up to 20 regular season games. You're going to have to assume that there's going to be a bigger risk.
Two buys, though, right? You think there's going to be two buys at that point, right?
There would have to be two buys. I mean,
yeah,
that would just make the most sense.
Yeah, but that makes the season even longer, because now we're looking at end of because now you're encroaching onto March for the Super Bowl. That's my problem. It's like now we've already lost January. January's gone. It's done. We're now slotted into middle of February. If they add another game and they add another bye on top of that, we're into March almost for the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. It would almost rub up against the end of the February sweeps, which if you think about it, from a purely programming standpoint, would be a good thing if you are the programmer who happens to be airing the Super Bowl that year. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's a bad thing for college basketball, because now you're hitting the rivalry games and potentially the start of the tournaments.
I don't know. I'll put it to you this way. We're going to see it happen, but probably not until 2031, 2032, about 10 years from now. We'll see it.
Yeah.
We'll see.
So that is going to be something to keep an eye on long.
There's something term. And there's something else that we need to take an eye on, VRM, and that's college. Hit the music for me, please. Because VRM, it is now official, right?
Yes, the 12-team playoff is approved with the 5x7 number.
Yes. Now, here's how it works, okay? Let's do it, because this is from the NCAA.com.
Yeah, I actually posted this in the thread. Give me one second.
Because I have it here, I'll give it to you. I will give it to you right over here. Right? There it is. Is that what you're talking about?
I got it.
Yes.
Okay, so go for it. Explain how it would work.
Okay, so the way this is going to work is that the top four conference champions will receive a bye. The next eight teams, so one champion and seven at-large teams, will go into the first round, which will be played at campus sites.
Right.
Five college football playoffs. So, and that is going to be happening. Because I have the dates for them. Yeah.
We actually have dates now.
We have the dates. So that will be the 20th and 21st of December.
Mm-hmm.
So there will be one game on the 20th, the Friday, and then three games on the 21st. The New Year's Six. So now we get into the quarterfinals.
Mm-hmm.
Four of the New Year's Six will still take place during New Year's weekend, which will be the 31st, which will be the Fiesta Bowl, which will be one game. Then we will have the Peach Bowl, the Rose Bowl, and the Sugar Bowl.
As the quarterfinals.
Yeah. Now.
Semifinals of the Orange Bowl. Another set of semifinals of the Cotton Bowl. Mm-hmm. And then the National Championship will be in mid-January now. Oh, my God. New Year's Six, my ass.
Yeah.
it's like
I'm about to say two of the New Year's Six are no longer on New Year's. They're into January at that point.
Correct. Yep. And we all, and boy, Jess, who loves her SEC, might even go to the national championship this year because it's going to be in Atlanta.
Aha. I could drive there.
Mm-hmm. And then the national championship for 2025-2026 will be in Miami this time around.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the Fiesta Bowl and Peach Bowl will rotate into the semifinal spot. The Cotton Bowl and Orange Bowl will fall back to the quarters.
Right, in 2025-2026. But I have a question for you. Is 12 too much? Or do you think it should have been 8, 6?
Yeah, I think you needed to ease into it because, you know, you're going from 4 to 12 and you have a plan and good on you for that. But it's one of those things where you look at it and you're going to wonder if this works or not. If it does work, congratulations, you've got a 12-team playoff. Let's see you stick with it. But if it doesn't work, it turns into one giant cluster.
Mm-hmm.
I think it will work because they will work around it. They've done it with the NCAA basketball, you know.
Mm-hmm.
However, let's see.
Yeah.
You know?
I think 12 is the sweet spot because – at 8, you still have the arguments for those undefeated that are just out and getting put in over, getting a 1-loss or a 2-loss Power 5 team that gets put in above them.
Right.
That with 12, you have that at large spot.
Right. So this would have been Florida State versus Oklahoma, Georgia, Ole Miss, Ohio State, Penn State, and Oregon, Missouri. With the top four being Michigan, Washington, Texas, Alabama, getting in to the top four. Right?
Right.
We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how that works.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, the next question would be, would the NCAA, after this, would the NCAA and the CFP eventually be willing to expand further?
And yes.
Would that work?
Well, once they get
and would it eventually result in FBS becoming a true Division I NCAA championship?
Here's the problem, though.
Mm-hmm.
If you expand past, say, 16, right? I'll just say 16, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You'll get to the point where we are at college basketball right now. Don't you think?
Yeah, because remember...
Because college basketball regular season don't mean shit.
Okay, I mean...
you disagree?
Well, it depends. Regular season, you have the non-conference schedule games. And then you have the conference schedule. And the conference schedule is when it starts getting really entertaining. But then again, I am a follower of the ACC, so what do I know?
So I just want to see how the FCS playoffs work. Because the FCS is 24. So FCS is 24 teams.
Mm-hmm.
So they have first round at campus site. So the top eight get byes. And then they play down from there. And no reseeding. So the problem is, well, then they're in the February too. So that might not happen until, because that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 rounds.
And just to let you know, my team, my alma mater, blows. They've lost 12 in a row in the basketball right now. Oof. Oof. They're terrible. But you know.
Wait. Oh, speaking of which, I got breaking news. The North Carolina Tar Heels have locked in the ACC regular season championship.
Okay.
So, yay!
Yay for you. Yeah, well.
Yay for me.
Oh yeah, now it's time to start tracking the automatic bids.
That's right. Well, yeah, because I believe next week is championship week.
Yeah.
But so we have two final news, and as expected, Jason Kelce has retired as the center for the Philadelphia Eagles after a 13-year career. He is actually more known for being with his brother in the podcast, you know. Called New Heights, by the way.
New Heights, and not only do they do the podcast, they are basically you probably don't know this, but they are a singing duo called the Philly Specials.
Mm-hmm.
And they like to release a Christmas single for charity every year. Mm-hmm. They did if you were listening to, I don't know if it was the Thanksgiving games or the Christmas games, you heard their cover of Fairy Tale of New York, and might I say, awesome stuff.
Mm-hmm. And the rumor is that the New Heights podcast may be getting a multi-billion dollar deal. But let's look at his statistics, okay?
Right, so he's played his entire career with the Eagles. He was selected to 7 Pro Bowls in 13 seasons, was named first team All-Pro for the 6th time in 2023. And do we have any actual numbers for that?
Yeah, well, he's also a 7-time Pro Bowl, 16, as you said, and also has a ring. Okay.
Of course, with the Eagles.
Yes.
Yep.
Let's look at Travis. We can do this from Pro Football Reference. Oh, well, hopefully there it is here. Okay, thank you, Pro Football Reference. He has not Travis, Jason.
Jason's the one with the beard, Jason.
Yeah. Okay. he started 193 games. My God, he didn't miss a season. He didn't miss a game.
Look at this. Perfect attendance award.
Okay. 132 tackles. How many sacks do we have? Do we have sacks? He was a center.
He was a center. He doesn't sack.
No. Yeah. But he played in 193 games, and like you said, 5-time Pro Bowl, 7-time Pro Bowl, 6-time. Wow, he did not miss a snap. That's like the guy from Cleveland, Joe. What's his face? You know what I'm talking about? Didn't miss a snap.
Looks like he's missed.
Joe Thomas. That's the guy's name.
Yeah, he had 12,000 career snaps he's played on.
Wow.
All right, so now I got to ask the question, because now he's going to be retired. Now Jason Kelce, he's going to be retired. His destiny is in his own hands. Does Canton come calling on the first ballot, though?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
The fact that he was in...
Oh, good grief. Look at the statistics. He was in no less than 90% no less than 94% of his team's snaps, 11 out of the 13 years he was around. Crazy, right?
Yeah.
It looks like we have to make a correction. He must have been injured in the 2012 season because he only played 2 games.
Yeah.
Okay. And he has only been, my goodness, he has only been penalized 61 times in his career. That's crazy.
He is an elite center.
Wow.
All I can tell you is
he's going to be in his he's going to be in the first round. And by the way, he was actually drafted by the Ravens, ironically enough.
Yeah. Drafted by the Ravens, traded, and then in 2012 he was stepped on during week 2, and it was a full tear of the MCL and a partial ACL.
Oof. Wow. But then was not injured for the rest of his career. Wow. Crazy. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. It's just a question of how or when, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, but yes.
And finally,
yep.
We have to talk about some sad news in the media world. One of the OG reporters for ESPN passed away at the age of 72. And that was Chris Mortensen. And he had stage 4 throat cancer in 2016, came back. But he has been around with ESPN for 34 years, mm-hmm. 33 years on and off.
Yeah, started in 1991.
Yeah, from Jimmy Pitaro, the chairman of ESPN, Mort was widely respected as an industry pioneer and universally beloved as a supportive, hardworking teammate. He covered the NFL with extraordinary skill and passion, and was at the top of his field for decades. He will truly be missed by colleagues and fans, and our hearts and thoughts are with his loved ones.
Peyton Manning wrote, "We lost a true legend. Mort was the best in the business, and I cherished our friendship. I trusted him with my announcement to sign with the Broncos and with news of my retirement. I will miss him dearly, and my thoughts are prayers with Mickey and his family." Not nice at all.
No, it's not. Before he was at ESPN, he was a columnist for Sporting News. He was a contributor to Sport Magazine and a consultant with CBS's The NFL Today from 1990.
Yeah, but his start really came with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, where he was the beat writer for the Falcons, and the Braves, and he won the George Polk Award in 1987.
Yeah, before that even, he began his journalism career in the South Bay Daily Breeze in 1969, where he won the National Headliner Award for investigative reporting in all categories in 1978. Over his career, he has received 18 awards in journalism and was nominated for 2 Pulitzer Prizes in his career.
You know, Chris Mortensen is one of those old school journalists who didn't do hot takes. He just reported the news.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, it's one of those OG reporters where it's like, you may agree with it, you may disagree with it, but it is news nonetheless.
Correct.
Something that is sorely missing among the sports elite journalists of 2024. But yeah, I mean, Chris Mortensen, basically the house upon which ESPN's NFL coverage was built. And this is just a loss for the community, a loss for the network, a loss for American football in general.
So, yeah. So that's that, I think. I think we're going to be back next week to talk about the new fiscal year, yes?
Yes, because as we record this, it will be, all eyes will be on the clock as we count down to the new NFL league year, which will begin at 4 o'clock on March 11th. We're going to be
March 13th.
March 13th.
March 11th is the opening of the negotiation period at 12. So negotiation period opens at 12 p.m. on the 11th. No contracts can be executed until 4 p.m. on March 13th. So we will be on the eve of the new year.
Yes, and we will be looking at all of the deals that will have been made, all of the deals that are yet to be made. Who do you think is going where? It's basically a whole lot of rundown that we're going to prepare ourselves for next week. But in the meantime, just want to remind everybody, we're on all social media at 5and1net. That is the number 5, A-N-D-O-N-E-N-E-T. I am at Dino R. Alexander.
I'm at Beat the Block with a 2 at the end. And you don't post much there, but I believe it is S-A-N-D-R-E-S-316 on your Twitter X feed. I know you don't tweet. You only tweet to, Shayna Baszler when she says another Warhammer.
Which I totally understand, by the way.
Okay.
So, yeah, before we get out of here, let's talk about all the things that we do network-wide. What happened on the NAWC, guys?
We need to talk about Sting's retirement match this coming Saturday.
And Darby's absolute insanity.
And stupidity. Stupidity.
Please, for the love of God, get out of the ring before they cancel the show.
What he did was he did a forward plancha off the ladder into a pane of glass. CCW
Ow.
Style. Yeah.
Ow.
Right. We are going to talk about the road to WrestleMania, and matches are being set with strong both in-ring work and social media work. Okay.
Drew is an amazing heel.
Yes, he is. What else were we going to say? We need to talk about it because it broke after the last show, didn't it? That Vince sold his stock? Was it after?
That was today. That was today.
Yeah, that was today. I have the actual link open right here.
That was today?
It was today, per Variety. Vince McMahon is selling $412 million worth of TKO stock.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically 5.35 million shares, according to the SEC. And that mm-hmm. it was filed yesterday. The news came out today, but the filing was yesterday.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, he still has another 82 million shares in his pocket.
But the thing is that. You think his legal fees are going to be that much? Or do you think that's going to be his paying off pot? You know?
¿Por qué no los dos?
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be something I guess you guys are going to be following.
Oh, we're definitely going to be fighting. We're going to definitely going to be fighting about that, following that. We are going to be talking about stuff on the NAWC, including our boy Brian Henninger, yo.
Hey.
And actually one of the biggest upsets in Jeopardy history on Monday.
Uh-huh. All I could say is, oh boy, Chris Pannullo. I saw him.
No. We're talking about Ike Barinholtz, baby.
Him too. I was looking at one upset. You're looking at another. I'm like, Ike Barinholtz, I see you.
Yes, and the thing is that we are down to the last quarterfinal match tomorrow, and then we will get to the semis Thursday, Friday, and Monday, and then 2 weeks. Is it a week?
It's going to be the first to three, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, yeah, it's GOAT format, but it starts the 12th, right?
It starts March 12th on Jeopardy, with the three finalists, and the first of three gets the $250,000. And then you have the Jeopardy Invitational Tournament, and then we'll be all tournamented out until 2025.
Now, the Jeopardy Invitational Tournament is to set up the lineup for Jeopardy Masters, right?
I have absolutely no idea. This whole Jeopardy Invitational Tournament is new to me.
Well, okay, we will see what happens.
Okay, we're also going to be talking about new episodes of Survivor, Drag Race, Deal or No Deal, Island, and...
Yeah, and by the way, that was a very quick game on Deal or No Deal Island.
Well, they only had 12 cases, Jay!
Yeah, I know, but still. But we'll talk about that.
And when did Claudia become such a heel? Oh my God!
I don't know, but by the way, I just have one question. So, do we know what our game is this week?
No. Okay. Not know what game of this. Yeah.
Well, you're gonna have to listen and find out. Yeah. What's happening on It Was a Thing?
Okay, so we just, because Mike, Greg, and I were talking about a TV show that aired in 1986 on NBC, and we found out that we haven't covered it. So we went ahead and covered it. It's on the site right now. It's Easy Street with Lonnie Anderson.
Mm-hmm. And, well, right now, it's unfortunately, I don't think your website's up at the moment. I'm just looking at that.
Hold on. It was a thing. No, it's up.
I don't know why I'm not getting it, but okay.
Yep. I'll tell you right now, Easy Street has 69 downloads.
Okay, nice.
And we're beginning Lost in Translation week on Thursday with basically a British take on That 70s Show.
Okay.
So that's something to look out for.
All right. And so next time when we come back, we'll be maybe next week and maybe the week after, the new fiscal year starts, and then we'll be seeing a lot. Do you think we'll be seeing lots of contracts being signed by then?
I think all of the important holdouts are going to finish holding out.
You know, I think we're going to get a lot of holdouts until training camp.
I'm thinking about one in general. I don't think it's gonna happen, but it's like I look at this guy and I can't trust it. Hi, Aaron Rodgers, how you doing? So we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, and between time, we are going to go ahead and call it an evening for VRM, for Jason Block, for everybody at 5&1. My name is Chico Alexander. Our time is up, and we thank you for yours. Enjoy whatever it is to enjoy this week.
The basketball or the hockey.
Enjoy the basketball!
Hockey, something, spring training baseball, and all that.
Bye.
We'll be right back.